Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure that you are subscribed to us on our website, aminutetomidnight.com, by going down the right hand side of the page and entering your email address where it says subscribe to blog. Well, there are a lot of concerning things looking ahead to 2023. Getting near the end of 2022, it's been a hard year in many ways. There are some things I just want to cover in this video that I see ahead, which are not looking too good, to be perfectly honest. Just continuation of 2022 and only getting more worse. I'm not going to cover some things I could, but I will just go through a few things that I want to show you before the end of the year. So most of you who are watching this channel will have been, if you're more than just a watcher, but you will have been called a conspiracy theorist by family and friends and other people, and derided for being a supposed conspiracy theorist for believing that world events are being orchestrated by conspirators, at least at some level. And, well, many of us believe at the very highest level that there is a conspiracy in play to bring the world to a one world government, and they're using every means possible to do that. And this plot has been going on for a long time. It's not new. But for those of you who want to know, where did conspiracy theory, that term, come from, I want to play you just a couple of little pieces actually of Tucker Carlson recently talking about the JFK assassination, and he brings out some very good points here that I think you should see.
It would be nearly 50 years before the CIA admitted under duress that in fact it had withheld information from investigators about its relationship with Lee Harvey Oswald. But even then, at the time, before that was known, the government's explanation didn't seem entirely plausible, and some people started asking obvious questions about it. It was at that point, as Americans started to doubt the official story, that the term conspiracy theory entered our lexicon. As Professor Lance DeHaven Smith points out in his book on the subject, the term conspiracy theory did not exist as a phrase in everyday American conversation before 1964. In 1964, the year the Warren Commission issued its report, the New York Times published five stories in which conspiracy theory appeared. Now today, of course, the term conspiracy theory appears in pretty much every New York Times story about American politics. It's wielded, now as then, as a weapon against anyone who asks questions the government doesn't feel like answering. But despite 60 years of name-calling, those questions have not disappeared. In fact, they have multiplied with time. And here's one of them. In April of 1964, a psychiatrist called Louis Joylin West visited Jack Ruby in his isolation cell in a Dallas jail. According to West's written assessment, he found that Jack Ruby was, quote, technically insane and in need of immediate psychiatric hospitalization. Those are conclusions that, puzzlingly, no one who had spoken to Jack Ruby previously had reached. Ruby had seemed perfectly sane to the people who knew him. Louis Joylin West pronounced him crazy. But what West did not say was that he was working for the CIA at the time. Louis Joylin West was a contract psychiatrist for the spy agency. He was also an expert on mind control and a prominent player in the now infamous MKUltra program, in which the CIA gave powerful psychiatric drugs to Americans without their knowledge. So of all the psychiatrists in the world, what in the world was this guy doing in Jack Ruby's prison cell? In 1976, long forgotten, the House of Representatives impaneled a special committee to reinvestigate the JFK assassination. Their bipartisan conclusion? Jack Kennedy was almost certainly murdered as the result of a conspiracy. But the question is, a conspiracy by whom? Well, the obvious suspect would be the CIA. Why else would the agency withhold critical evidence from investigators? Today, this afternoon, the Biden administration did exactly the same thing. That would be thousands of pages of documents after nearly 60 years, after the death of every single person involved. But we still can't see them. Clearly, it's not to protect any person. They're all dead. It's to protect an institution. But why? Well, today we decided to find out. We spoke to someone who had access to these still hidden CIA documents, a person who was deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly, did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? And here's the reply we received verbatim. Quote, the answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake. It's hard to imagine a more jarring response than that. Again, this is not a, quote, conspiracy theorist that we spoke to. Not even close. This is someone with direct knowledge of the information that once again is being withheld from the American public. And the answer we received was unequivocal. Yes, the CIA was involved in the assassination of the president. It means that within the U.S. government, there are forces wholly beyond democratic control. These forces are more powerful than the elected officials that supposedly oversee them. These forces can affect election outcomes. They can even hide their complicity in the murder of an American president. In other words, they can do pretty much anything they want. They constitute a government within a government, mocking by their very existence the idea of democracy.
So in those clips, Tucker Carlson was referring to a government within a government or people powerful beyond government in the USA. But this conspiracy goes much, much deeper than just America. It's a global conspiracy. And one of the things that I'm watching at this point in time is a conspiracy to hold up the Ukraine as some sort of martyrdom kingdom with a terrible Vladimir Putin who must be fought against and a heroic Zelensky portrayed as a reason why everyone's at war and sending money and sending weapons and so on. And this could well and truly escalate into World War III the way it's going and become nuclear. Now, I'm hoping it doesn't. But there's certainly writing on the wall that's leading to suggest that it's going to get worse rather than better. There's no solution in sight. And, well, an economic collapse, I believe, it will be a cover for a global economic collapse, likely. But world war is on the cards as a very distinct possibility. And by the way, I'm not advocating support for Vladimir Putin. I believe he's a dictator as well and a cold-blooded man. And so he's also part of the conspiracy playing his role. So don't get me wrong, I'm not supporting Russia in any way, shape or form. But there are two sides to this story. There are always two sides in the Hegelian dialectic, and this is a classic example. Now, I just want to again play something from Tucker Carlson about the situation in Ukraine and how Zelensky is not the hero that he's being portrayed as. In fact, he is a dictator. And this should give you some rather shocking truths about what is happening to Christians, or at least nominal Christians, in the Ukraine.
Whatever you think of the war in Ukraine, it is pretty clear that Zelensky has no interest in freedom and democracy. In fact, Zelensky is far closer to Lenin than to George Washington. He is a dictator. He is a dangerous authoritarian who has used $100 billion in U.S. tax dollars to erect a one-party police state in Ukraine. And that's not an overstatement. Over the past year, Zelensky has banned opposition parties. He shut down critical media by force. He's arrested his political opponents. He has sent soldiers into churches. Zelensky's secret police have raided monasteries across Ukraine, even a convent full of nuns, and arrested dozens of priests for no justifiable reason whatsoever and in clear violation of the Ukrainian constitution, which no longer matters. And in the face of this, the Biden administration has said nothing, not one word. Instead, they just continue to push to send Zelensky more tax dollars. So naturally, Zelensky has become much bolder. Why wouldn't he? Last week, he announced his plan to ban an entire religion, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, and to seize its property, all for being insufficiently loyal to his regime. And he said it out loud. Watch this.
We have to create such conditions when any people dependent on the country aggressor won't be able to manipulate Ukrainians and weaken Ukraine from within. First, the National Security and Defense Council instructed the government to submit to the Verkhovna Rada, a draft law on making it impossible for religious organizations affiliated with centers of influence in the Russian Federation to operate in Ukraine.
A free country does not ban a major religion just because it's not fully on board with the political program of the people running the country. But Zelensky's doing that, and his cabinet is now devising ways to punish Christians for practicing their banned ancient religion in Ukraine. Quote, personal, economic, and restrictive sanctions will be applied to any Christian caught worshiping in unapproved ways. Now, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church is more than 1,000 years old. With the full backing of the Joe Biden administration and the U.S. Congress, Zelensky has decided to ban it. So here's the response of one bishop to the news. You're not allowed to send soldiers into churches. You're not allowed to arrest dozens of priests because they refuse to bow before you. You're not allowed to ban whole religions. So most of the U.S. media, most, have just ignored this. Some have made excuses for it. Oh, he has to do this because there's a war. But there's no justification for this whatsoever. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church is not Russian, it's Ukrainian. It has no connection to the Putin government. It has, in fact, officially denounced the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So once again, there is no justification for destroying and banning this church. And yet Zelensky's many celebrity backers in the West have said nothing about it. And they should know better. In May, George W. Bush, the great defender of Christendom, met with Zelensky on a Zoom call and afterward described him as the Winston Churchill of our time, a man who should be praised for his, quote, commitment to liberty. So where's George W. Bush on this question, now that his friend, the George Washington of Ukraine, has banned a form of Christianity in that country? Well, George W. Bush has been silent as well. So have many purportedly Christian members of Congress. They're backing Zelensky no matter how many Christians he arrests, no matter how many churches he seizes.
To the Ukrainian people, you can expect the Congress to be there with you in terms of supporting your efforts to maintain your freedom.
Everything that we can do to be helpful to them as they fight for their freedom.
I think the history of the 21st century turns on how fiercely mm-hmm. we defend freedom in Ukraine.
We will continue to provide military equipment so that Ukraine can defend its territory and its freedom.
The United States will continue our unwavering support for Ukraine as it defends its freedom.
And let's get the job done so that we can save lives in Ukraine and defend the cause of freedom.
The free world had no choice. America could not stand by. The American people did what they always have done, defend freedom around the world.
Every single person you just watched has campaigned, many of them make a habit of campaigning, Lindsey Graham, ladies and gentlemen, in Christian churches in the United States. Will a single Christian leader say anything to them about this? You are funding the destruction of Christianity in Ukraine? And Time magazine is fully on board with this. They just informed their four remaining readers that Zelensky's president is the person of the year.
We are seeing dictatorial leaders rising across the world in many countries, in even supposed democracies, people that are exercising the traits of a dictatorship. More and more this is happening. And by and large, these people have been trained by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum and are heavily endorsed by the World Economic Forum. Now, the World Economic Forum, as anybody who listens to this show should know, is not an entity we should be having any support for at all. The World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and the puppet masters, probably beyond even Schwab, are controlling world events. They are the face of the conspiracy now in many ways. Now, for those of you who will remember, before the C-19, demic, there was an exercise called Event 201 that was run just a few weeks before that virus exploded upon the planet. And that exercise simulated very close to what actually happened. Now, I won't go too much back into that, but the logos, everything about Event 201 is very, very similar to another exercise that has just been run very recently about a future alleged event called catastrophic contagion. And I'm just going to cover a little bit of that now.
Officials in two Latin American countries alerted the WHO of several outbreaks of a new infectious disease that's mysteriously appearing across the region, Severe Epidemic Enterovirus Respiratory Syndrome 2025. Over the past 6 weeks alone, there have been 500 confirmed or suspected cases reported. The virus could cause a severe pandemic if early containment and mitigation efforts are not successful.
The pandemic in this type of situation and trend would be a risk for the global health security.
Pandemics are inherently political, financial, and so much broader.
We have not spoken on the leadership in country. And I think that we need to be also very careful. We cannot decide a lot of things without the leaders be involved and agree on that.
There is no substitute for national leadership.
It's important to support the local response or the national response.
Training those that are in these areas first, enabling them with the tools, protecting them, and if needs be, regional solidarity first.
At this stage, communication is key. And communication should include not just scientists with data, but also social, religious, and political leaders.
Trust. This is an essential issue. And trust was broken among countries, between populations and healthcare systems, between healthcare systems and governments.
I'm very sorry to say that in 2025, we need to strengthen the health system.
WHO needs to be a voice for the voiceless.
No one is safe until all of us are safe.
As of today, there have been an estimated 1 billion cases worldwide, with more than 20 million deaths, including nearly 15 million children. Countless millions are alive, but left with paralysis or brain damage. The most successful countries are those which invested in preparedness and trained for this moment years in advance. This included having full-time pandemic preparedness.
So I'm just going to read a little interaction I had with a friend on social media where he sent a link to the centerforhealthsecurity.org and the catastrophic contagion exercise. And he said this, sigh. Here we go again. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and John Hopkins Center for Health and Security did this before COVID-19 last time with Event 201. Now they're doing it again. And he said this, have you thought about how you're going to survive this next wave? They're saying in this article that the next wave pandemic will be more lethal than COVID-19, and they're calling on world leaders to be much more bold and decisive in their decisions they make to protect the public. Sounds like this ordeal will be way worse than all the shenanigans that happened last time. Also, if they're following the pattern they did with Event 201 occurring in 2019, right before the pandemic hit in 2020, then we're about to get hit with another pandemic starting in early 2023. This is on our doorstep. And I replied, yeah, it's crazy. But to fully implement central bank digital currencies, they will have to either create a new pandemic or take us to world war or both. It sure is a concern when you see Gates and the others running another simulation. And the friend replied, looks like both are on the menu for 2023. Event 201 in 2019 was officially sponsored by Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, World Economic Forum, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The catastrophic contagion simulation did not include the World Economic Forum in the sponsorship. Official sponsorship, though those other two entities were included as the main sponsors. But lo and behold, we look at the agenda for Davos 2023, the meeting of the World Economic Forum, and what do we find? World Economic Forum announces its themes for Davos 2023, and theme number 4 is preparing for the next pandemic. The meeting is set down for January 16th to the 20th, 2023, entitled Cooperation in a Fragmented World, and it will be about the world today at a critical inflection point. The sheer number of ongoing crises call for bold collective action. The annual meeting will convene leaders from government, business, and civil society to address the state of the world and discuss priorities for the year ahead. It will provide a platform to engage in constructive, forward-looking dialogues and to help find solutions through public-private cooperation. And the themes, the six main topics for the 2023 Davos meeting in January are: 1. Ukraine shines a light on importance of global cooperation. Well, we've looked at the Ukraine a little bit. Number 2. 3 interconnected crises: climate, food, and energy. Number 3. Don't use recession, but it might be coming anyway. It says, well, it's already begun, I believe, and we're going to be seeing more than just a recession. It's going to be full-on collapse. Number 4, preparing for the next pandemic requires ending health disparities. Number 5, gender inequality and jobs of tomorrow. So basically they're going to keep pushing the transgender, you know, issues and so on. And number 6, our future is digital. And we know that Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum has talked about merging our physical, biological and digital identities in transhumanism. So that is really what they are heading to us towards ultimately. As I mentioned before, the World Economic Forum is the public face of the conspiracy, the global conspiracy towards world government. Of course, we have the United Nations and others, and there are puppet masters, I believe, even beyond these people. But if you look at the Board of Trustees for the World Economic Forum, we see people like Larry Fink, the chairman and executive officer of BlackRock, who we know controls masses of the world's wealth. We see Kristalina Georgieva, the managing director for the International Monetary Fund. Al Gore, who we need no say much about with his climate lunacy. Christine Lagarde, a former president of the IMF and now the president of the European Central Bank. And of course, we have Klaus Schwab, the founder and director of the World Economic Forum, and of course others. But, you know, when you look at these people, you realize, or you should realize, how much power these World Economic Forum boffins wield, and they are pushing a driving force behind much of what is happening, and then they train the global leaders, as I've covered in other videos before. That's why you end up with a coordinated response from government world leaders, largely because they've all been trained by Klaus Schwab's School of Young Global Leaders. So as we look towards 2023, be prepared, make preparations, whatever you can do, because I believe we've got major difficulties ahead, potentially world war, economic collapse, and even possibly another pandemic that they will deliberately start heading us into, at least if not in 2023, then probably 2024. So that's all I wanted to cover, folks, but get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, that's our only hope. And get preparations made to survive the difficulties ahead as best you can. A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. If you want to help us out, that's always greatly appreciated. And you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. And make sure you subscribe to us here to receive notifications of our videos and so forth. And the music used in the shows I've written, played, and recorded. Well, God bless, stay safe, and hopefully we'll be back with more videos in the near future.